Hey guys, thank you so much for joining us for the NCC podcast. God is doing so many great things in our community, and I trust that He's doing great things in your life as well. And I trust that God is going to speak to you through this message.
Hey, North Point, I hope that you're having an incredible day. No matter where you are watching, whether you're at home or you're in your car or you're at work, I want you to know that you're not alone. God sees you, He loves you, and He is with you. Right now, we're in a series called Heaven Revealed, and Pastor Philip's been talking to us about the different ways that God brings heaven to earth, because that's what we pray, isn't it? In the Lord's Prayer, we say, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We are literally praying for heaven to come to earth. And if we're going to pray that, we may as well believe that it's going to happen. So how does God get heaven into earth? And we've talked about so many different wonderful things. But today we're going to talk about something that I think is so incredible and so essential and so central to the gospel that sometimes it can even be overlooked. We're going to talk about hospitality. Now, don't tune me out. Don't turn the channel. Don't go to do something else or think this isn't for me. I'm not somebody who likes to throw big parties. I'm not into decor. That's not what we're talking about here. Hospitality is the mandate of every Christian. And it certainly is the mandate of the mission of North Point Community Church. We have a mission, don't we? And that mission is creating Christ-centered, culture-changing community. And as a community, we've decided that we are going to identify with the innkeeper at the end of the Good Samaritan story. Now, for those of you who don't remember that story, let's kind of talk through that. Maybe you're not familiar with it. Jesus told a parable about who is my neighbor. It was answering the question, who is my neighbor? And instead of just answering the question, Jesus did what he often did, and he told a story. And the story went like this. There was a man who was coming on the road, and he was beaten up by bandits, and he was left for dead. And this was a Jewish man, and along came a priest, and along came somebody who worked in the temple, and both of the people saw the man and just passed him by. But then there was a despised Samaritan. Now you might say, wasn't it the Good Samaritan story? No, that's just the caption that we put in the Bible. In the Bible, in what Jesus actually said, he said there was a despised Samaritan because Samaritans were looked down upon, they were hated, and they were ostracized by the Jews. And this despised Samaritan comes by and sees his oppressor, sees this Jewish man hurting and bleeding on the side of the road. And instead of just passing him by, he stops, he takes care of him, he puts him on his horse, and he takes him to an inn. And he gives him to the innkeeper and commissions the innkeeper to take care of him until he comes back. And as a church, we have taken on the identity and the role of innkeepers, that's who we are. We want to have an innkeeper identity, that Jesus can trust us with the hurting and the broken of this world and to care for them, not charging them a thing until he comes back, that we are the inn that stands at those dangerous crossroads of life. And we are willing to take on that identity then of being an innkeeper. And when you see it like that, it's a little bit easier to understand why I tell you that hospitality is central to the mission and it's central to the gospel. You know, we've probably all had experiences with hospitality that were incredible and experiences that weren't so great. Maybe you've been to a hotel where everybody treated you like they were so happy that you were there. I can remember one time I was in China and I was there on a business trip and they booked me in this hotel that was far away from everything, but it was close to the factories. And it was a beautiful hotel. But the funny part was, is that it had only opened a couple months before. And so they had a ton of staff in training and very, very few guests. So I needless to say, was treated like royalty the entire week. People knew my name. They walked around with me because I was alone a lot. Some of them would even sit down and have lunch or have dinner with me. I got to know people. It was such an interesting experience of hospitality, but maybe you've been to a place where it was the exact opposite. You walked in and it seemed like everyone was annoyed that you were there. You didn't feel invited. You didn't feel welcomed. You didn't feel thought of or cared for. What is hospitality? It's not just welcoming people, and it's not just laying a nice table, and it certainly isn't having the best decor in town or enough flowers to fill a bathtub. That's not what we're talking about here. There's a great definition that a pastor named Scott Cormode said, and this is what he said. He said, hospitality is the offer to extend the privileges of community to those who do not have the standing to expect it, especially those who are vulnerable because they are strangers. Hospitality is an offer to identify with outsiders and treat them like insiders. I want us to think about that for a moment. Hospitality is the offer to identify with outsiders and treat them like insiders. He goes on to say, hospitality is extending privilege across difference. Now, think about that. There are people in your life who are outsiders. Hospitality is simply extending the privilege of being an insider to that outsider. Imagine when you invite somebody to your home to have dinner, right? Now, your kids, they get to eat dinner at your table. At least I hope they do. They get to eat dinner at your table. That's just a privilege of being a son of the house. It's a privilege of being a child of the house. But when that guest comes in and they sit at your table, you are extending to them the benefit of being an insider, even though they're not. They're not your kid. They aren't entitled to a meal at your table, but you are extending to them that privilege. Hospitality is a big deal to God. It is a huge deal to God. In fact, it's been said that all of human life started with God's act of hospitality. Think about it. He created an environment that was perfect for us. And then he invited us through creation to inhabit this environment. He cared for us. He met us on a daily basis in the garden and engaged us in conversation, got to know us. He extended the benefits of being an insider by creating an insider space just for us. He didn't have to do that. But God really cares about hospitality. And he makes it clear all through the Bible. In Romans 12, verse 13, it talks about the importance of hospitality. And this is what one pastor said about this. It said, we are not just to receive the stranger when he comes to us, but actually to inquire after, look carefully for strangers, to pursue them, and search them out everywhere, lest perchance somewhere they may sit in the streets or lie without a roof over their heads. That sounds a lot like working along the Good Samaritan. What we're working alongside the Good Samaritan to see the people of this world hosted and cared for and invited in. In Titus 1:8 and in 1 Timothy 3:2, we see that the early church actually listed hospitality as a qualification for being a church leader. Can you imagine? Alongside all of the other qualifications, being hospitable, being willing to invite people into their home and practice hospitality was a qualification of a church leader. And then we see in Leviticus and again in Micah, where God is so serious about the children of Israel, treating those who are foreigners as though they were native born. Don't believe me? Listen to this. When a foreigner resides among you in your land, do not mistreat them. The foreigner residing among you must be treated as your native born. Let me say that again. The foreigner residing among you must be treated as your native born. Love them as yourself, for you were foreigners in Egypt. I am the Lord your God. We know this about hospitality. Hospitality is a big deal to God. But not only is hospitality a big deal to God, hospitality is Jesus's method. Hospitality is the way of Jesus. Rich Wilkerson Jr. just preached an incredible message on hospitality. I encourage you, you can go to VU Church and look it up. It's absolutely wonderful. And one of the things that he said that just really grabbed me is his definition of hospitality. He said, hospitality is the friendly reception and treatment of guests. It's what turns strangers into friends. Isn't that absolutely beautiful? It's what turns strangers into friends. And that's what Jesus did over and over and over again across class, across ethnicity, across even gender. He invited people into a hospitable moment and he turned strangers into friends. And I like the way that that Rich says it, because he says that Jesus came to this earth with a mission in mind to seek and save those who were lost, but that hospitality was his method. What a beautiful thought. He came on this grand mission, and yet that mission was accomplished around tables. Jesus seems always in the New Testament to be at a dinner, on his way to dinner, on his way back from dinner, doesn't he? It plays such a big part. People sitting around, eating together, sharing a moment together. Hospitality is the way of Jesus. And not only that, but the ritual that he gave us for the in-between time, we call it communion, centers around a table. Think about it. Jesus, as one of the very last acts that he did before he went to the cross, told his followers to eat and drink together in remembrance of him, an act of communion, an act of intentional hospitality. And it still is one of the ways that we invite outsiders to become insiders through inviting them to join our holy communion. And then, probably in one of the most interesting verses, Jesus describes the last judgment in Matthew 25. And the judgment, hear me, centers around hospitality. It doesn't center around belief. It doesn't center around action as we would understand it, whether you abstained from certain things or did certain things. No, it centers around hospitality. He says, you didn't do all of these things. And let me read them to you. It says, for I was hungry and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison and you did not look after me. And they will answer, talking about the people who are being judged, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you? And he will reply, truly I say, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. This is crazy. This is how important hospitality is to God, that he would put it in the context of judgment. Have you cared for those around you? It's so incredibly important. And then we see that the early church exploded through the practice of hospitality. We talk about it a lot, that in the book of Acts, they spent their time paying attention to the apostles' teaching, but it also says to communion. And there it's talking about intentional hospitality, fellowship, and prayer. What a beautiful picture of how they would invite newcomers in to sit at the same table, to have conversations, to eat together in a hospitable environment. No wonder it was so important to the early church that their leaders practice hospitality, because while practicing hospitality was really important in the culture, it was practiced towards those who could do something for you or towards those who were insiders in your community. But the practice of hospitality in Christianity was focused not just on insiders, but also on outsiders. This is how one commentator said it, Dr. George Ross. Hospitality had a central role in the early church as believers forged a new identity in a hostile culture. As Christians shared meals and resources, and as they opened their lives and homes to strangers, they formed communities. Remember our mission. They formed communities that transcended and changed conventional understandings of households and expressed new understandings of social relationships and political identities. The outside world noticed and wondered about this odd assortment of people who claimed to be and acted as if they were family. Isn't that just a beautiful picture of the church? So we know that hospitality is a big deal to God. We know that it was Jesus's way. We know that the church exploded through hospitality. But what else can we say about hospitality that will help us to internalize this central part of the gospel? And I think it's a sentence and it kind of comes in three parts. Are you ready? And the first part is this: hospitality is a mindset. Hospitality is a mindset. See, hospitality isn't just a list of things to do. I'm teaching my children how to be hospitable right now. I'm teaching them how to set the table, set an environment, put on music at a good level, put on candles on the table. I'm teaching them how to look people in the eye and welcome them. I'm teaching them those things, but I can tell them to do those things and they still will not achieve the purpose unless they've internalized it and they have a mindset of hospitality. So we have all these phrases, you know, that we use in our house before they leave the house. Anybody who's been around my kids knows what I'm going to say. Hey, who are we looking for today? And they'll look at me and sometimes they'll roll their eyes and sometimes they'll shout with enthusiasm, but they'll always say, we're looking for the lonely ones. Because that's a core principle in our home, is that we look for the lonely people. In our church, we've said before, no lonely people. We don't want any lonely people here. We are not the church that's just excited about, oh, you want to sit by yourself and not have anything. No, we're probably going to crowd you a little bit because we're looking for the lonely ones and we don't want there to be any lonely people. It's a mentality. It's a mindset that when we pull up to our job, when we go into our home, when we come to church, that we are there to serve. And it's mirrored by Jesus, right? That's what he said. He said, I have come to serve and not to be served. And so you should have the same mentality, a mindset of being a host. And this is what I've come to find, is that a host mentality comes from an innkeeper identity. A host mentality comes from an innkeeper identity. We end up doing the things that we have internalized, the mindset that we've decided to have. So we see that hospitality is a mindset, but hospitality is a mindset that results in consistent action. Hospitality is a mindset that results in consistent action. I can remember being on a plane one time and I was by myself and I was sitting next to a lady who did not speak any English. She only spoke Spanish. Now, I can speak some languages, but Spanish is not really one of them. I know very few words. My mom speaks some Spanish and has actually studied to a very high level with Spanish. And I heard her in my home some, so I can speak a little bit. I can figure it out a little bit, but not enough to have a conversation. And so the cart with the drinks and the food were coming up the aisle and this lady is starting to speak to me in Spanish and I don't understand, but I am determined to be helpful. And the flight attendant gets to our aisle and she very brusquely is like, what do you want? Which I can understand. I can imagine that it is very difficult to be a flight attendant, but she very brusquely says this and I order my drink. And then I turn to my new friend and I'm trying to translate what this lady wants. And the flight attendant's getting very exasperated with me. And I just finally look at her and I said, I'm so sorry. I'm trying to help her. And she goes, wait, you're not with her? And I said, no, I'm not with her, but I'm trying. And the flight attendant broke out in fluent Spanish. And I just looked at her, and I guess she saw me looking at her because they quickly resolved the issue. And she flipped her hair and said, I'm not paid to speak Spanish, and kept walking up the aisle. Okay. She did not have the mindset of a host. Now you can say, well, she may not have been being paid and she may have been being oppressed. That's not what I'm talking about. There was a lady who was in need. There was a woman who needed help. What I wanted to reply, and I didn't, was neither am I. But in that moment, because of the way that I've been trained, because of the example of Jesus, I was doing my best to host the airplane. I can kind of do that at restaurants too. I clear the table for the waitress. You know, it's just one of the things that the server, I tend to do that. Why? Because that's the way I was trained, to think about that person as a person who wants to come up to the table and everything's messy and the ketchup's everywhere or whatever, to think about them, to host even the server, the person who's serving us. When we have the mentality of a host, it goes with us everywhere. It's not just in our home. It's not just in our business. It's not just wherever we are. It goes with us everywhere we go. And you know what? You have a right to host for the rest of your life. Everywhere you go, you can have the mentality of a host because of what the Bible says in Psalms 24:1. It says, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it, for he founded it on the seas and established it on the waters. See, you are a child of God. And as a child of God, you can be a host and invite everyone around you and treat them as though they need to be invited to be an insider. You are an insider everywhere you go. You're never an outsider. You're an insider everywhere you go because the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Everywhere you go, you can own it, you can belong it, and you can host that room. I love what Rich said about hosting. He talked about how when you're at a dinner table, you should always contribute because there's enough furniture. That really challenged me. I tend to be a little bit quiet. I tend to be a little bit reserved in certain environments. And I thought, man, I want to be a better host. I want to be better at not dominating the conversation, but hosting the conversation, asking questions, making people look good, adding a remark that'll help bring the conversation along. I want to be better at thinking about how to host every single room that I walk in. Why? Because I'm called to hospitality. I'm called to make every environment I walk in better. You know, when I was young, my grandmother would teach me that when you go into someone's home and they are offering you hospitality, that there's a hospitality that you return to them. You strip the bed when you get up in the morning and put it in the laundry room. You straighten everything up and make it look as good as when you arrived or better. You wipe down all of the sinks whenever you wash your hands. Make sure that there's no water droplets. Now, that may seem little and small, but it's not to someone who receives that kind of hospitality. They feel loved, they feel seen, and they feel cared for. But it's a mindset that leads to consistent action. Action not just in our house, action not just in our business, action not just in our church, but action in the grocery store, action while we're driving, action at every table. When we choose to take that mindset of hospitality with us, it's so incredibly important. And on a practical point, because I think that sometimes this is very intimidating for people, like, how do I host? We're called to intentionally invite people, right? So we host everywhere we go, but we really are called to intentionally invite people into our lives and onto our journeys. Philip and I have made a point to inviting people into our homes since we got married. The first person who came to live with us a month after we got married. And since then, we've consistently had so many different people live with us, whether it was a foreign exchange student or a family member or somebody who was working at the church or somebody who was working in the community. We've had our home open for people to live with us, but not just that, but we open our home to small groups. We open our home to have dinners. We open our home intentionally. Why? Because it's important for people to feel that they're invited to be an insider. It's important to practice hospitality. I want to be a hospitable person. I want to follow the example of Jesus. And God's given me my home, and I want to use it to invite others in, to have conversations, to speak to people's hearts, to allow them into my life. And what I found is when I allow people into my life, then I get a chance to speak into their life. And it's such a beautiful and a wonderful thing. But a lot of times on a practical level, we can just get weirded out by it. I want to encourage you. You don't have to be Martha Stewart or have a perfectly appointed space in order to practice hospitality. You can start exactly where you are. Sometimes we'll be like, oh, I'm going to practice hospitality when I have a big house, or I'm going to practice hospitality when I have tons of money. Just start where you are. Maybe it just starts with choosing to take the easy wins after church, always going and having coffee or lunch with somebody. Hey, you know, let's run up here and let's just sit down and visit together. Let's talk about what went on in church, or just talk about your life, looking for the new people and saying, hey, why don't you join me and my family this week? Maybe it's just inviting a coworker to have coffee, or taking your lunch and sitting with somebody else at the common table that you haven't gotten to know yet, and asking them questions and leaning in and being interested in their life. Take the easy wins. Maybe it's serving on a Sunday, truly being hospitable and taking that identity and that mindset of I'm not a guest into your church experience. Sometimes we can show up at church and we've been here 20 years, but we're still acting like a guest. We're not acting like a host. And we need to lean into that hospitable moment. But no matter where you are, just start where you are. I can remember one time I was talking to my sister-in-law, and she was having a small group, and she was actually having it at the church. And one of my keys to having a good small group was create a great environment. And then the next one was have food. And she was like, I don't cook, Destiny. And I said, yeah, that's fine. In the back of your car, just put like a big thing of that Chex Mix and a bowl. That's it. Just big thing of that Chex Mix and a bowl. Dump the thing of Chex Mix in a bowl. You can tell this is pre-COVID, and just put it on the middle of the table where y'all are talking, and everybody can get a little bit on a napkin and they can eat, and you will be shocked at how it will open up conversation just having some food and drink around the table. It's crazy how it just opens things up. In fact, one of the things that I enjoyed when I was researching this is it talked about the order of conversation and hospitality in the New Testament. You did not ask your guest any questions in the New Testament until they had eaten, which I just feel like should be the rule before I've had coffee. Like, don't ask me any questions until like the coffee's all the way through. And when that's done, then you can ask me questions like, what are we going to eat for breakfast, Mom? Can't answer that until after. But anyway, I digress. The whole point is that they didn't ask questions. Why? Because food loosens you up. It makes you feel connected. It makes you feel cared for. It makes you feel safe. Hospitality is about turning strangers into friends. Hospitality is a mindset that results in consistent action. And I don't think that you'll be shocked to hear the last part of the sentence now. Hospitality is a mindset that results in consistent action and invites the supernatural. See, that's what we see in the New Testament. In the New Testament, Paul is exhorting the people to practice hospitality. He's telling the first church, make sure you exhort, you know, that you practice hospitality. And he says, because some of you have entertained angels when you've done that. That's pretty amazing that there would literally be a connection between experiencing the supernatural and just doing something as simple as opening your home and practicing hospitality. But we also see that in the context of huge hospitality when we talk about the feeding of the 5,000. You know, Jesus has taken his disciples and they're supposed to have some me time, but they get to the other side of the lake there. And instead of it being me time, it ends up being them time because there's 5,000 men plus all of their women and children who are all gathered and they want to hear Jesus. And of course, Jesus isn't going to disappoint them. And so he teaches them. And then the disciples, as the day gets late, tells Jesus, look, send them away so that we can go get some food is kind of the subtext there. Like, we still need our Jesus time. You promised. It's one of those kind of things. And Jesus turns to them and says, you feed them. You feed them. And if you follow the story, this supernatural miracle happens where 5,000 people, 5,000 men plus women and children are fed from just a few loaves and a little bit of fish. And there's even enough left over for the disciples to gather 12 baskets. I mean, it's absolutely one of the most phenomenal miracles in the Bible. And it's all about hospitality. This is what one commentator said about it. Jesus tells the disciples to feed these strangers, to treat them as if they are insiders or part of Jesus's crew. The command to provide hospitality makes no sense to the disciples, but Jesus wanted them to treat 5,000 outsiders like they were insiders in his chosen band. This blows up the argument that is often given. Well, there's just so many. Jesus expected his disciples to treat 5,000 outsiders like they were insiders and offer them hospitality. Transformation. It's unbelievable what happens whenever we lean into hospitality. Zacchaeus, who is one of my favorite stories in the Bible, mainly because there's a song to it. Zacchaeus was a wee little man was he. Anyway, it's one of my favorite moments of kids' church. I digress. Zacchaeus is this tax collector, this hated person in Jewish culture. And Jesus offers him hospitality. And he does it in a really weird way. He says, hey, Zacchaeus, he says, I am offering you hospitality right now by inviting myself to your house. Sometimes we host our culture and we host our city by showing up at their stuff, by being a part of what's already going on. Sometimes we can be so involved with our own stuff and inviting people to our stuff that we miss what's already going on in the culture. And I want to speak to something right now that might be a little hard for some of you, and for others of you, you're going to be like, I didn't even know that was controversial. Let's talk about Halloween. All right. I get it. Not for ghosts and goblins. I'm not for witches and warlocks. I'm not for the satanic. I'm not for any of those things. You know what I am for? Kids, and I'm for my neighbors. And once a year, they show up at my door. And you know what? For years, I didn't answer. The one day a year, my neighbors came to my door, I didn't answer. Not this year, not for the last few years. I'm going to be there offering hospitality. In fact, I'm going to go a little bit further this year. I'm going to have a driveway party. And I'm going to offer people somewhat diluted coffee and possibly some other type of spiced drink. It's not going to be probably the greatest thing they ever had, but I'm going to offer it. And I'm going to have good candy. Not bad candy, but like good candy or like little wristbands or something to give away to kids. Because I don't want to be the house that that's the stingy house. Them Christians, you know, those pastors, they give out the bad candy. No, I'm not. I'm going to show up at their stuff and love my neighbors. Because why not offer hospitality? I want to reach my neighbors for Jesus. I want them to feel like an insider when they're in my presence. Sometimes we miss the easy pitches. Transformation happened for Zacchaeus. See, Jesus invited himself to Zacchaeus' house. And by the way, everybody was upset because Zacchaeus was not a good guy and he was not the guy you should go to the house. Not only was he like a bad guy, like a sinner bad guy, but he was an oppressor of his own people. That's not good. But Jesus didn't care because he offers hospitality consistently. We have a house habit here, honoring consistently. He offers hospitality consistently to everybody. And that's the way we should offer hospitality too, is to those around us who maybe people will gossip about us because we invited them to our table or because we showed up at their thing. But what happens with Zacchaeus is phenomenal. Zacchaeus, it seems spontaneously, in response to being with Jesus and this incredible hospitality, he offers to give back everything that he has cheated people from, plus some, a multiple of everything that he has stolen. That's complete transformation. That's unbelievable transformation. That's more than I'm sorry and I regret it and I won't do it again. That's I will go back and historically make everything right plus some. But see, when we practice hospitality, that's where transformation happens. Transformation happens at the dinner table with questions and conversations. It doesn't happen quite as often on the street corner with preaching and accusations. Let's be like Jesus. Let's invite people to the table and see strangers become friends. Let's treat outsiders who have no right to claim a place within our community as though they were already a part of our community. But when we offer hospitality, we have to offer it just like God, without expecting anything in return. That's the beauty of the innkeeper story. At the end, the good Samaritan, the despised Samaritan, says to the innkeeper, hey, here's some money. And if there's anything else that's owed, I will pay you when I come back. When Jesus comes back, he will pay anything that is owed to us. He will reward us for everything that we have done on his behalf. Every person that we fed, every person that we clothed, every person that we offered hospitality to. You know, one of the great privileges of our life has been giving uniforms to the kids of Bossier Parish. Before COVID, we actually had a big event and we would invite hundreds of families to come and get their uniforms. And one of the things I loved was watching our people not just give uniforms, but offer hospitality, treating every family as though they were just our neighbor, which they were, as though they were the person that we sat next to in church, which some of them were. And not just giving them a uniform, but also giving them honor and dignity. And I watched as people who kind of were hanging their heads walking into the building would walk out smiling and laughing and proud because they weren't getting a handout. They were being offered hospitality. They were being hosted. They were being loved. They were being cared for. And nobody was expecting anything in return. That's how we offer hospitality, without expecting anything in return, because that's how God offers it to us. From creation to the cross to heaven, it is all a story of us receiving God's hospitality without deserving it at all. Without deserving it even a little bit, and without any ability to repay him for what he has given us. Jesus went to the cross. He died a sinner's death, even though he was no sinner, on our behalf. He cared for us, but he also went to prepare a place for us. Doesn't that just sound like hospitality? Doesn't heaven sound like hospitality? Preparing a place where we can be with God, where we who were far from him can be treated as insiders because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. I love the fact that at the beginning of eternity, which is a crazy thought, there's this incredible dinner. The culmination of heaven is a dinner, a moment of intentional hospitality where all of us gather together with the God who offered us a place at his table, even though we didn't deserve it. See, we bring heaven to earth when we open our home as God has opened his, but also when we live in our earthly home as innkeepers, intentionally hosting our way through life. I love the way one commentator talked about hospitality. He said this: our Christian motivation for extending hospitality to the stranger is our experience of receiving hospitality from God. We were estranged from God with no claims on God, but God, in his great love for us, offered us hospitality while we were yet sinners. He invited us into his household, not just as guests, but as adopted joint heirs with Christ. And God's hospitality came at a cost. His only son had to suffer and die and rise again in vindication so that we might have a place once again at God's table. Hospitality is at the core of the Christian experience. This is what I want to ask you today. Have you experienced and accepted the hospitality of God? If you don't know him, I want you to know today that he's offering you an invitation to go from being an enemy to a son, not just a stranger to a friend, but an enemy to a son. All you have to do is believe in him and ask him to walk with you on the journey of learning how to follow him. And then I want to ask you this: are you practicing hospitality? For those of you who've already accepted the hospitality of God, are you practicing hospitality? Do you walk into church with the mentality of a host or as a guest? Are you looking for what you can get out of it? Or are you looking for what you can give? Do you walk around your environment with the mentality of a host? I'm just telling you, hospitality, it's a mindset that demands consistent action, but it will result in the supernatural. I know that's what we're looking for, to bring heaven to earth. And sometimes we want it to be so complicated, but it's so simple. Begin to practice hospitality and see how God uses the tables of our life to lead to the transformation of our world. So today's lead is this. L, what we've learned, is that hospitality is central to the gospel. Hospitality is central to the gospel. Our evaluation is, do I have a mindset of a guest or a host? Do I have a mindset of a guest or a host? Our application is to take one step in hosting, in practicing hospitality this week. Invite someone that you don't know well to lunch or to dinner at your house or to coffee. Ask them questions. Treat them as though they're not an outsider and they're actually an insider, and watch as God does supernatural things. And just do it again. Let me pray for you today. God, we thank you so much for what you're doing through this series, through teaching us how heaven comes to earth. And Lord, I pray that our hearts would be so grateful that you offered us hospitality, that we are recipients of your hospitality in our lives. But Father, I also pray that we would be convicted to offer hospitality to others, not just once or twice, not just in easy environments, but that we would consistently offer hospitality with the mindset of a host, with the identity of an innkeeper. Lord, I thank you that as we do our part, that you do exceedingly abundantly above, that you bring heaven to earth, that you do supernatural things, that you cause miracles to happen, that you cause transformation to happen just when we issue the invitation and when we practice hospitality. Thank you for what you're doing in us. Thank you for what you're doing through us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Well, I hope that you have a great week.
Thank you for listening. To hear more messages like this one, make sure to subscribe and share our podcast. For more content from NCC and how to get connected, visit ncc.team.